Welcome to Classic Comedy of Old Time Radio. I'm your host, Ron Eckelbarger. Here we have our next episode of Lucille Ball and Richard Denning and My Favorite Husband. This is episode number 95, which is entitled Old Clothes Sold to Junk Man. It originally aired on September 2nd, 1950.
It's time for My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball.
Hello, everybody.
Yes, it's the Gay Family Series, starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning, transcribed and brought to you by the Jell-O family of Red Letter Desserts.
J-E-L-L. Oh, big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. That's Jell-O.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O pudding.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O tapioca pudding. Yes, sirree.
And now Lucille Ball with Richard Denning as Liz and George Cooper, two people who live together and like it. As we look in on the Coopers tonight, they're spending a quiet evening at home. George is lying on the couch smoking his pipe, and Liz is curled up in the easy chair watching him.
George, you look like an Indian making smoke signals. Is that what you're doing?
Ugh.
Hey, send me a message in smoke signals.
Ugh.
Ooh, what you said.
Sorry, it was a pipographical error.
Oh. Yeah. I'll get it. Oh, George, it's the Atterbury.
Liz girl, George boy.
George boy, Liz girl.
Hi, folks.
We came by to see if you wanted to go to a movie. The men is down at the corner.
They is?
That's the name of the picture.
Mm-hmm. With Marlon Brando.
Well, what are we waiting for?
Well, I don't know.
It's a double feature with Jane Russell.
Well, what are we waiting for?
Well, we better get started.
Okay, I'll go put on some lipstick while you change, George.
Change?
Well, certainly. You can't go looking like that.
Well, why not? I've only worn this T-shirt twice.
George Cooper, do you mean to say you'd go to a movie in a T-shirt and those horrible old slacks?
Well, Jane Russell isn't going to care. Of course, Marlon Brando might not like it.
Don't you have any pride? Look at Mr. Atterbury. He's all dressed up.
Say the word, boy, and I'll take my tie and shirt off.
Rudolph.
Well, I'm just trying to make George feel comfortable, Lotus Bud.
You're not alone, Liz. We had the same scene before we left home. Rudolph wanted to wear dungarees, a sweatshirt, and sneakers.
We're suffering the curse of the middle classes, George. How I'd love to be poor enough or rich enough to go around dressed like a bum.
Oh, boy.
As it is, a man can't be comfortable going to a neighborhood...
Buster! Shut your big bazoo.
Buster!
Look, we're wasting valuable time. George, I'm not stepping out of this house with you in that outfit.
Well, if we were going dancing, I'd say you had a point. But who's going to see me? I get in the car, drive down there, sit in a movie for 2 hours, get in the car and drive home.
And suppose we have an accident?
Oh, my Aunt Fanny.
Suppose we hit another car and you're knocked unconscious? How will that picture look on the front page of the newspaper? You stretched out in a T-shirt.
Yeah, boy, she's right. Suppose they took you to the hospital. What self-respecting surgeon would operate on you in those clothes?
I didn't think of that. The blood would clash with these green slacks.
You're both terribly amusing. George. Are you going to change your clothes, or are we going to stay home?
Sounds like she means business, boy.
Yeah, I know that tone.
Well, come along, Mr. Atterbury, and help me pick out something. I can't decide whether to wear my chartreuse velveteen or my pink taffeta. Oh, may I?
I just read Vogue, and I have some stunning ideas.
Have a cigar, Iris.
There. You think this tie and shirt will pass inspection?
Oh, yes, yes. Liz would be proud to have you in an accident looking like that.
Oh, I hate ties.
Oh, me too. Once I had the bright idea of painting a dark stripe down my chest.
Did you try it?
Yep.
Did it work?
Yep. Too well.
Too well?
Iris put a stick pin in it.
Ouch.
You know, before we were married, Iris loved my baggy tweeds and open shirts. Today, I wear the same outfit, and I'm a sloppy crumb bum.
Come on, crumb bum. The girls are waiting.
Wait a minute, boy. Huh? I have an idea. They want us to be dandies. Let's be dandies.
You mean...
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. We'll put on the fanciest clothes you've got. Let's give them a good dose of what they asked for.
Hey, that's a wonderful idea.
Wonderful, my foot. It's sheer genius. Let's look in your closet. We'll find something here. Yeah, let's... Oh, blue jeans... Torn slacks, sweatshirts, old flannel bathrobe. Gad, what a wonderful wardrobe.
Thanks. It's taken me a long time to collect it.
Here, here, what's this? A tailcoat and striped trousers.
Oh, yeah. I wore those to my cousin's wedding 6 years ago.
Oh, these will be perfect for you. Put them on.
Wear them?
Sure, sure. And I'll... here, here. I'll wear a pair of your golf socks and stuff my trousers inside so they look like knee bridges.
Take this lace doily off the nightstand and pin it at your throat.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll tuck this silk hanky in my sleeve.
I've got just the thing to top it off. Here, Liz's blue silk bed jacket.
Oh, good.
Boy, these pants have shrunk since I last wore them.
Funny thing about pants. Hang them in the closet for a few years and the waistline always shrinks.
Well, I can fasten them if I hold my breath.
Here we go. My arm, Beau Brummel.
Charmed,
Lord Chesterfield.
Up there, Liz. How long does it take George to put on a shirt and a tie?
I don't know. George, what are you doing up there?
We'll be right down, honey.
I don't know what's taking so long. Maybe he's having trouble getting those old pants off without breaking them.
He's really attached to those pants, isn't he?
Well, sometimes I think it's vice versa. You know, he doesn't just hang them in the closet. He stands them up in the corner.
I know what you mean.
And when he gets a hole in them, I don't mend it. I solder it.
Rudolph has an old leather jacket he's that way
okay,
about.
Okay, let's go to the movie.
Well, it's about time. What in the world...
What do you think you're doing?
George, be a lamb and see if my stocking seams are straight, will you?
What matter, my lord? We're only going to a movie.
But I might swoon in the lobby. And I'd hate to be carried to the powder room with a crooked stocking seam.
Very funny, fellas. Ha ha.
Rudolph, get out of that ridiculous outfit.
Now, we'll be late, George. Go up and get dressed.
But I am dressed. Don't you see? With this morning coat and striped pants, if we get in an accident, I can be my own pallbearer.
You don't go change your clothes. You're going to need one. Now, go get dressed.
Does anyone have any snuff? I haven't had a good pinch all day.
All
give you a good pin.
You'll notice that.
Now, wait a minute. I'm confused. When I'm not dressed up, you don't like it. And when I am dressed up, you don't like it.
Well, I'm not going with you dressed like that.
Can I wear my T-shirt and slacks?
Oh, all right.
I'll take off my tie and go in my shirt sleeves.
Go in your underwear, but hurry.
Sit there while the men is showing.
Come on, boy.
Okay.
Ooh, my pants!
There'll be a small delay, Iris. One of the men is showing more than the other.
Return to the Coopers. It is the next day, and we find Liz still smoldering over her defeat in the battle of the ties and tight collars. She's pacing up and down the living room, working out her frustration and trying a plan of revenge. Katie, the maid, comes to console her.
Mrs. Cooper, relax.
I hate men.
Oh, you'll get over it.
It's just too bad the other sex had to be men. I wish there was something else to marry. No, really. There must be something else for women to do besides wasting their time marrying men.
I tried collecting butterflies once, but it wasn't as much fun. Oh, forget it, Mrs. Cooper. Men are like that.
Well, my man isn't going to be. If I could only get rid of all of his old clothes and get him to start fresh, Get rid of his old clothes. Hey! Come on, Katie. I'm going to make someone very happy.
Who? Mr. Cooper?
No, the old clothes man. I'm going to take all of George's old clothes and give them away. Oh, would you look at this wardrobe.
Pretty gruesome.
You know, maybe George got these from the old clothes man. Where do we start?
How about this corduroy jacket?
Oh, that stale thing. You better shake it. There may be a bird's nest in the pocket.
Yes, ma'am.
I was right. Look, an egg.
That's a golf ball.
Oh. Well, here we go. Here, take this flannel bathrobe and this hunting shirt. This leather jacket with the elbows out. Look at this awful tweed suit. Ugh.
I could use some dust rags.
Here.
Thanks.
And take this pair of slacks and his rain hat.
Not his rain hat. That's sacred.
It's also holy. Look, Katie, it's just a case of who gets it first, me or the sanitation department.
Well, I hope you've decided what you're going to tell Mr. Cooper.
Oh, I'll think of something. Right now, I have only one thing to worry about.
What's that?
The old clothes man may refuse them.
Busy, Mr. Atterbury?
No. Come in, George boy. I was just warmly remembering the great victory we won last night.
I think we taught them their lesson.
Yeah, I think so. Hello.
Is George Cooper there, please?
He's right here.
For you, George.
Oh, thanks. Hello.
Mr. Cooper, my name is Adams. I'm the local used clothing dealer.
Yes?
I thought you'd like to know I just got in a hot shipment of old clothes.
Oh, look, you've got the wrong George Cooper. I'm the vice president of this bank.
Yes, I know that.
Well, then, why do you tell me about some old clothes?
Because they're yours.
Well, look, I don't care. Mine?
Yes, sir. Just left your house. Your wife was shoving clothes out the front door faster than I could pick them up. It looked like an explosion at the laundry.
What a dirty trick. Liz sold all my old clothes to the junk man.
Gad, she's inhuman.
I tell you what, Mr. Cooper, I'll bring them over to the bank if you like.
Oh, would you? Well, I'll see that you make a profit on the deal.
Oh, don't worry. I'll see to that.
What do you mean?
Well, collecting men's old clothes from their wives is a nice business, but I make my real money selling them back to the husband.
Bring them over. I'll be waiting.
Okay. Oh, say, before you hang up, will you switch me over to a Mr. Wait a minute. Mr. Atterbury.
Atterbury?
Oh, God!
We'll both be waiting. Now, hurry up over. Well, how do you like that? Mr. Atterbury, are you all right?
Yes. I've got an idea, boy.
What?
Run down to Miller's department store and ask them to give you some suit boxes, new ones. Then we'll put our old clothes in the boxes, wrap them up, and when we get home tonight, we'll tell our wives we've got a whole new wardrobe.
How's my little husband tonight? Ooh, what's in all those boxes?
It's a sort of a surprise.
Miller's department store. George, you bought some new clothes.
Yeah, I bought them all right.
Well, it's a lucky thing because I have something awful to tell you about your old clothes.
You have?
Yes. Yes, George, I got to feeling guilty about last night. After all, if you want to wear old clothes, I should let you.
Yes?
Well, I took all your old clothes out and started to clean them for you.
Oh?
Well, you know how easily that cleaning fluid catches fire.
Yeah?
Well...
Go on.
You believe me, don't you?
Oh, yes.
Well, then I'll go on. Where was I?
You know how easily that cleaning fluid catches fire.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, I was too near the stove, and a spark got on them, and all your clothes burst into flames.
My goodness.
All that was left was a few little ashes. Dirty ashes. Are you mad at me, George?
Oh, not at all, dear. That's the kind of thing that would happen to anyone.
Oh, you're wonderful, George.
Here, let me show you what's in these boxes.
Okay.
There.
Ooh.
Well, what do you think?
They sure did a good job of sewing those ashes back together.
Liz. I bought these from a man today.
Oh, well, what luck finding a set of clothes just like the ones that burned.
Yes, wasn't it a break?
Yeah, it's too bad we still don't have the others. We could dress alike, sort of mother and daughter bum suit.
Liz, aren't you ashamed? You've been acting like a child, haven't you?
Well, as long as you're being big about it, I guess I can, too. It was a dirty trick, and I was childish.
Now, if you act that way, then I'll have to treat you accordingly. Come here, Liz.
What are you sitting down for?
Over my knee.
You wouldn't dare.
Oh, wouldn't I? Come here.
Oh, if you spank me, I'll tell Mommy.
Oh, that doesn't work anymore, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Now, George, don't.
Oh, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you.
Oh,
Merchants Association has chosen the best-dressed men in town. And who do you think came in 1-2?
Not...
Yes, those sloppy crumb-bums, Atterbury and Cooper. Oh, it couldn't have come at a better time.
What a coincidence. I wonder how they happened to choose us.
Well, why do you think? Because of our tasteful wardrobe, our impeccable grooming, and the fact that I'm chairman of the choosing committee.
Tell Liz.
Oh, you're not going to. It'll be in the papers tomorrow.
Oh, I can't wait till tomorrow.
Well, you won't have to. They're going to take pictures of us with our wives on the City Hall steps at 5 o'clock. We'll have the girls there to meet us.
Okay.
Now, you call Liz and I'll call Iris, but don't tell them what it's for. Just let them think we're taking them to dinner and ask them to meet us in front of the City Hall.
Okay.
Well, as long as pictures are going to be taken, we can give the girls a little break. Tell them to look their best.
All right. We can be that nice to them. I'll call right away.
Yeah.
Iris.
All right.
Oh, Mrs. Cooper, yeah. I'm so glad you're home. You too, Mrs. Atterbury.
What's the matter?
Well, your husband's called and said to meet them for dinner.
Oh?
It's something that came up at the last minute, and they want you to meet them in front of the City Hall, and they said to be sure and look your best.
How do you like that, Iris? The eternal males. When we want them to look nice, they won't do it. But now that it's important to them, they say, be sure and look your best. Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So what? So, what are you going to wear to dinner?
My new green satin I bought today. What are you going to wear?
George's blue jeans and a sweatshirt. Huh? Topped off with sneakers and his old rain hat.
Ooh, do you dare?
Iris, this is our big chance to get even. Are we going to blow it?
I'll run right home and get into one of Rudolph's tacky outfits.
You don't need to. George's closet is a place where old clothes go to die. Now, you can wear his old fishing pants. They're just horrible. And his checkered cap and a sweater that's so old it has mending on the mending.
Sounds very chic.
Yeah.
And I know just the thing to top it off. A hideous hand-painted tie. It's blue with an orange eagle flying over a purple tree. What a monstrosity. Wait till you see it.
I already have. We gave it to him for Christmas.
Well, let's get dressed, shall we?
What's keeping Liz and Iris?
Oh, they're probably home, primping. After all, we told them to look their best. You know what that means to a woman.
Yeah. Well, I wish they'd get here. The photographers want to get a shot of us with our wives.
Say, that's funny. Look over there, George.
Where?
Coming up the steps. Two clowns. I didn't know there was a circus in town.
They're not clowns, they're bums. Look at the rags they're wearing, that checkered golf cap. And did you ever see such a shapeless hat?
Never.
You, George!
Rudolph!
Oh, God! Quick, boy, through the lobby and into the elevator.
Oh, the elevators don't work this late.
Don't quibble! Open the doors and jump down the shaft!
Fellas, we wanted to look just right.
Pretend you don't know them, George. Here, my good man, here's a quarter for a cup of coffee. Now scram.
Where are we going to eat dinner, George?
Oh, it's no use. What's the meaning of this, Liz?
Meaning of what? We're just being casual.
Yeah.
Hey, look, Mr. Atterbury, how long do we have to wait?
Ow, you stepped on my foot.
Oh, I beg your pardon, mister.
Now, just a minute.
When are your wives going to show up?
Well,
they're not here yet. They should be here soon.
What do you mean? I'm Mrs. Cooper.
And I'm Mrs. Atterbury.
Well, I'll take the picture anyway. Maybe the editor can put it on a comic page.
The editor?
Yes, editor. For your information, Mr. Atterbury and I have been chosen as the two best-dressed men in town.
I don't believe it.
I don't either.
Oh, it's true. And I got to get their pictures with their wives in the morning paper.
Oh.
Okay, everybody, a big smile.
Don't you dare take that picture. We'll go home and change our clothes.
Yeah, you can get a picture later.
You up there with that big camera. Don't you take any pictures for your paper either.
Oh, he's not with the paper.
Well, then what's he doing? Time not to take our picture.
It's a little late, Liz.
Yeah. You've been on television for the last 10 minutes.
Oh, no!
We'll be right back. Yes, Lucille, what's on the docket for tonight?
Tonight, Robert, to start the new season, I am a shy young country girl, a beautiful little flower visiting the city for the first time.
And I'm the city slicker?
Right. Take it away, Wilbur.
Well, hello, my beautiful little flower.
Hello there.
Did you drop this handkerchief?
Oh, no, you don't. My mother told me about fellers like you.
She did?
Yep. Why do you think I dropped my handkerchief?
I want to talk to you about Jell-O.
Oh, you're going to sweet-talk me, huh?
Jell-O comes in six delicious flavors. Strawberry, raspberry, cherry.
Yep.
Orange, lemon.
No!
Yes, and lime.
Well, that's enough talking. Kiss me.
Now, look, there'll be none of that until I finish talking about Jell-O.
Ooh, gonna play hard to get, eh? Come here, you.
Put me down.
Oh, shucks. There.
Now, where was I?
Up here.
Put me down!
Well, you don't have to get in a tizzy about it. Want to wrestle?
Now, may I finish?
Proceed.
Jell-O makes you think of the real ripe fruit itself.
No.
Yes.
Itself?
Yes. So look for the big red letters on the box.
J-E-L-L-O.
Why? What does that spell?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? You knew the letters.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I can spell, but I can't read. You see, I'm working with dog and cat now.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, but they're doing better than I am.
Well, when you learn to read, you'll find that Jell-O is wonderful.
It is?
Because the flavor is locked in by a special process.
It is.
Yes, and it can't get out till your first delicious spoonful.
I didn't know that. Nobody ever told me.
Now, how about that kiss?
Oh, no. Jell-O sounds better to me now.
Bye, Bob.
You have been listening to My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning and based on characters created by Isabel Scott Rorick. Tonight's transcribed program was produced and directed by Jess Oppenheimer, who wrote the script with Madeline Pugh and Bob Carroll Jr. Original music was composed by Marlon Skiles and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. The part of Katie the Maid was played by Ruth Parrott. Lucille Ball can be seen starring with Bob Hope in Paramount's picture, Fancy Pants. Be sure to listen to Lucille Ball in My Favorite Husband again next week, presented by...
J-E-L-L. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. That's Jell-O.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O pudding.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O tapioca pudding. Yes, sirree.
Bob Lamond speaking.
Thank you.
please send your questions and comments to host@classiccomedyotr.com. Come back next Monday for another episode of My Favorite Husband, and check in on Wednesday for the next installment of The Pepsin Show, starring Bob Hope. Until next time, in the words of Phil Connors from the movie Groundhog Day, "Ned, I would love to stand here and talk with you, but I'm not going to."